Well, let me now explain why the Pfizer vaccine is completely unrealistic for India. Now, Pfizer has developed a detailed logistical plan to support effective vaccine transport and storage. Remember, this needs to be stored at minus 70 for transportation. So the system they have is based around a flexible just-in-time system, which will ship the frozen vials to the point of vaccination by road and by air. Transport is on temperature-controlled thermal shippers utilizing dry ice to maintain recommended temperatures and conditions of minus 70 degrees centigrade, plus or minus 10 degrees for up to 10 days. There are GPS-enabled thermal sensors that will track the location and temperature of each vaccine shipment across their preset routes. There are three options for storage once the vaccine is received at the place it needs to be. Firstly, ultra-low temperature freezers, which are commercially available. These can extend the shelf life for up to 6 months. Refrigeration units that are commonly available in hospitals. Here, the vaccine can be stored for 5 days to be refrigerated at 2 degrees to minus 8 degree conditions. Now, the Pfizer thermal shippers in which the doses will arrive can be used as temporary storage units by refilling them with dry ice for up to 15 days of storage. Critically, once thawed and stored under 2 degrees to minus 8 degree Celsius conditions, the vials cannot be refrozen or stored in a frozen condition. They have to be used or they have to be discarded. So it's extremely complicated. Well, joining us now to look at this and the progress we made in India as well, Dr. Randeep Guleria, the Director of the All India Institute of Medical Sciences. We're also joined by Dr. Veer Pushpak Gupta of the National Health Service in London. Dr. Guleria, was there ever a stage in which, India was looking carefully at Pfizer in terms of it being brought to India?
So I think there was, I think, to some extent, a exploratory work done a few weeks ago or maybe a month or two ago. But like you rightly said, it seems to be very difficult to really be able to logistically distribute this vaccine in India, considering the fact that it has to be stored at minus 70 degrees. And the logistics for that in a country like India are going to be very, very difficult. And it would not be cost effective also. And also the fact that the vaccine is not being produced in India. So the number of doses that we need will have to be flown in from outside, which will make it even more challenging. There is no production plant that Pfizer has that the vaccine could be made in the country itself. So these are challenges which I think make this not a really very good option as far as India is concerned.
Dr. Gupta, how difficult will it be, even in the United Kingdom, to ensure that the drug is transported fast, stored safely, and administered quickly? It must be an incredible challenge.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for having me on the show, Vishnu. It's not going to be easy in the United Kingdom either. As you mentioned in the show, minus 70 degrees of storage will require thermal sensors. They will require a great deal of logistical challenges to transport. At the moment, the information that we have got is that 50 hospitals in the United Kingdom have been selected as the places that this vaccine is going to be stored. It will then be transported to distribution centers and administration centers, which will either be the primary care practices in the United Kingdom or the GP practices, or they will set up areas where this can be mass administered to the population. But it will have to be done within a time period of 5 days, as the vials, as you mentioned, cannot be used after a certain limit of time. So it's going to be a logistical challenge, but we're getting this within the next few days. And as frontline workers and NHS workers, we will be on the front line to administer this, and we'll have more information in days to come of how effective that administration process is happening.
So, Dr. Gupta, you would likely be one of the first few, in your community of doctors to get the drug, right? Is there already a protocol established on who's going to get it, where they're going to get it, when they're going to get it?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, I was told just yesterday that there has been a local conference center that has been set up as the administration unit that we'll be using to get people to get this vaccine. But obviously, the first doses of the vaccine will go to the care home residents that are above 80 years of age and also the care home workers. And then age-wise, it will be given to 75 and above, 70 and above, frontline workers, comorbidities, ethnic minorities, et cetera. So it's going to be a rollout over the next period of 4 to 5 months. But in the immediate future, we're going to get about 10 million doses of vaccine before 31st of December, primarily for the care home residents and the care home workers.
Dr. Guleria, the science behind memory RNA vaccines, it's very impressive. In as much as it's new, and therefore we perhaps don't have as much information as we want at this stage, but we're in the middle of an emergency. India is also looking at a COVID-19 vaccine with a memory RNA basis, right?
Yes, so this is the messenger RNA vaccine that is being used. Messenger. And this is a new technology and a new platform. It has multiple advantages, but it has never been used in the form of a vaccine or been approved in the form of vaccine. But producing it and getting the vaccine ready is something that can be done in a short span of time. And that is a major advantage. Also, this vaccine works that it actually is when it reaches the host, that is the human person who gets the vaccine, it induces the host cell to produce the spike protein or the antigen, to which then the body produces antibodies. And that gives a more robust immune response, because it's like a little bit of a natural infection occurring, because the messenger RNA induces the host cell to start producing spike proteins. And this spike protein, once it is produced, causes the body to react to it and cause antibodies. It's a new technology. So one is really wanting to know how robust is the immune response going to be. And remember, again, when we're talking of this vaccine, as we're talking for other vaccine, there are two doses that have to be given. And therefore, the whole cycle of giving it has to be repeated among the individuals who are getting vaccinated. And that also is a logistic challenge to get everyone back and work on that strategy, especially when you have to maintain a temperature of minus 70. The issue would be, how long does this vaccine maintain the immunity? And how and when will you have to give a booster dose if that is required? And secondly, what type of protection does it give? Does it give you a sterilizing immunity, that is, you are protected and you will not get COVID-19 at all? Or in certain groups, it does protect you from severe infection, but you can still get a mild infection and be infectious and be still having the potential to spread the infection to others. So I think over the next few months, we will get more and more data as far as these mRNA vaccines are concerned. But this is exciting, because this is going to open a new chapter for vaccination, not only for COVID-19, but for a large number of other diseases where this platform can be used in the form of making vaccines.
You're both scientists in a sense. This is exciting science, isn't it? The future is absolutely exciting. Dr. Gupta, the Oxford trial vaccine is progressing. There are question marks back and forth on how effective it's ultimately going to be. And yet in the United Kingdom, you've got the Pfizer drug, the Moderna drug also around the corner. So in the UK, why would people necessarily use the AstraZeneca drug, if it is cleared, assuming it is cleared, when they've got something that shows a 95% efficacy?
Yeah, and you know, it's been an exciting last couple of weeks between the three major vaccine producers. AstraZeneca was the fork runner for the vaccine in the United Kingdom. 100 million doses were already purchased by the UK government based on the price of AstraZeneca, which was only £2 to £3 per dose. And also the ease of storage. You know, AstraZeneca can be stored between -2 to -8 degrees Celsius, which is very easily stored in any GP practice or primary care network practice and around the country. And a lot of hopes were being built up for this, but obviously in recent days there've been some questions in the model of the study that they employed. And the two doses that they gave, the first dose was seen to be more effective as a half dose than the full dose. And so I think that they're going to have to sort of go back and see where it all sort of went wrong for them. But I have high hopes for the AstraZeneca and Oxford vaccine, primarily because this is the vaccine that will actually be available to the whole world, and including India, because it is effectively a cost-effective vaccine. And it is a vaccine that can be stored very easily. Logistically, it will provide a revolution for COVID vaccines all around the world. And I think AstraZeneca and Oxford will still be the answer that the world is looking for. But because the United Kingdom and the government of the United Kingdom want to get the economy started again, they want to get everything back on track, I think starting this vaccination program with Pfizer will be a good opportunity to see how the vaccine responds.
Professor Nishchay Mishra at the Center for Infection and Immunity at the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University also with us. Thanks so very much for being with us. We've gone through how it actually works. Just in time, I'm talking about Pfizer, just in time delivery of the drug, GPS-enabled systems to ensure that it travels on exactly the same route and that the temperature is maintained. Even for extremely advanced countries like the United States, this is it's exceptionally daunting, isn't it, to get the drug from the place it's made to where it needs to go.
Certainly, it puts an extra burden on the whole supply chain and maintaining the cold link chain. But the countries like United States, where the electricity is available almost all the places, not all the places they have minus 80 freezers. So they may need to supply those or maintaining it. But the good thing is, in the freezing condition, the vaccine can be kept at 2 to 8 degrees up to 5 to 6 days. So in that case, if those places where they arrive it within 2 to 8 days and they have to consume it, of course, it will be difficult to maintain the cold chain. It slow down the whole process. But it's a good start. People will start getting vaccinated. That's the most important thing. Efficacy of this Pfizer vaccine is very, very good, which is the most important thing to shut down this whole pandemic. When in the future, when we have to keep it contained, any vaccine can work, but like in the early stages, should be very safe and very efficacious vaccine.
Okay. Dr. Guleria, as I understand it, the Oxford trial vaccine in India cleared a key hurdle. There were certain question marks raised after one of the vaccine trial candidates, individuals, had a medical condition. Independently, it is believed that was not associated with his receipt of the drug. But having cleared that, how closer are we to emergency authorization in India, both for this and for Bharat Biotech, which has also made strong progress? Or are we still likely to wait for the results of the stage 3 trials to come in from India? Or would the results from, say, what happens in the UK be good enough?
So I think we will also see what the results are from UK. And as has already been said, that there's been a little bit of a confusion, if I put it that they found a vaccine was more effective if half dose was given in the first time and the full dose was given as a booster. In India, in all the centers, it's the full dose which has been given in the first and during the second time, the second dose that has been given. We've reached a stage where the phase 3 trial is almost now over. The drugs has been administered. Now it's just the follow-up period. And one is very hopeful that by the end of this month, we shall have sufficient data to be able to take it to the regulators and apply for emergency use authorization as far as the Serum Institute of India, the Oxford vaccine trial in India is concerned. The Bharat Biotech has also started phase 3 trials, and that way will go on till early next year. So hopefully that is also showing good results. So we should be able to get both the vaccines with us in the first 2 or 3 months of next year. The important thing is that logistically it's very simple to give to distribute these vaccines, because we don't need to maintain such an intense cold chain. They can be transported between 2 to 8 degrees centigrade and kept in normal fridge. And therefore, the vaccine program that we already have for children can be used as a backbone, and that can be upgraded or upscaled for adult vaccination. And using a system like we do for elections, one can have a mechanism of getting people vaccinated based on the priority list that has already been generated by the states and the central government to start vaccinating as soon as the approvals are there. I'm also aware that the companies have already started manufacturing large doses.
Yes.
And stockpiling the vaccine, so that they can roll it out as soon as possible.
All right. I'd like to thank the three of you very much for joining us. These are exciting times. I think it's a great day for science, certainly for those who are going to be getting that drug in the United Kingdom. But hopefully soon we'll have our own drugs over here in India to help us. Thanks very much for being with us.